This podcast brought to you by the English Department at Florida State University.
So without further ado, we're going to bring Jay Snodgrass up here to introduce Robin Beth Scheer.
Hello, my name is Jay Snodgrass, and I'm a co-director of Anhinga Press. And tonight, we're very delighted to have two Anhinga Press Robert Dana Prize winners amongst us. We also have Anhinga Press also has other books for sale over there. You can see me about that. So anyway, I'm here to introduce Robin. Robin won the 2014 Robert Dana Anhinga Prize. She's from New York City. Well, as close to New York City as to make no difference. She has a BA in religion from Colgate University, deciding thus that a degree in religion wasn't lucrative enough. She went on to receive an MFA in writing from Columbia, also in New York. Her work has appeared in several noteworthy and awesome journals and magazines. She has residencies at Yaddo. She teaches at Cooper Union and in the New School. All right, now that's all the official stuff. That's aside. Now, her book is Shipbreaking. Now, it won the prize, and I was fortunate enough to be one of the readers for the prize who got to read the manuscript before it went on to the final judge. And I remember the book, you know, was semi-anonymous, I'll say that. That when you're reading a book for a prize like this, you think about, you know, how much you're going to invest in what the author is trying to do with their book and how long you're going to go with them on their, you know, proposal. And at some point, you know, a lot of the time we have to make the decision to say you're going to not continue on that. But with Robin, the book kept going. Robin has also spent time as a pirate, dare I say, pirate on a tall ship on the HMS Bounty before it sank in Hurricane Sandy. But she wasn't on it when it sank, fortunately. So anyway, the book is called Shipbreaking, and it's a wonderful book. And I'll talk about the poems just for a minute, right? The poems grow in your mind, and this is as I was thinking about how I remember them. They grow in my mind like tall ships riding on the horizon. They materialize first in points, the peaked mask forming. The poems are protean in that they are inhabited by the sea. They are connected by, I want to say, currents, but better to say electricity. They are connected by love or the mysterious emotional, They are love, a mysterious emotional surface that can be plumbed at the risk of the heart's hull. The poems in Shipbreaking are fused with the currents of electricity. They are charged, exciting the motions of the heart. They have characters such as Galvini, from whom we get the term galvanized, who gets to rejuvenate the legs of myriad frogs by bolting them together and having them be struck by lightning. And then we get to watch them flop around like the heart. The poems in Shipbreaking carry us travelers as vessels, trussed cages of wood and bone tossed upon the waves and set adrift. We get to ride on the swells of the quenching and unforgiving waters of the ocean until we come apart. So without further ado, here's Robin to read from her book.
Thank you, Jay. Thank you. Thank you. Wow. That's a lot of people out there. It's such a pleasure to be here, such a pleasure to read with Deborah, such a pleasure to be in Florida, and I'm happy. So this book is not so happy, but but I think it tries to be happy. So the book, as Jay said, does have a lot of wreckage in it and a lot of electricity in it and disaster. So I think maybe I'll start with some disasters for you. The poems, though, are not so much destructive. I think in many ways the book is asking how to survive these disasters, I hope. So we'll start with some disaster. This is Tornado. Spun from the squall line, I am the wrecking ball of wind you craved, unleashed on this supine plain, where the planet's curve is all that hems horizon, and you my only azimuth. Wait for me underground, a supplicant in the shoveled safety of a root cellar. You should not see how quick a house is dismantled, how it will bloom, a peony unfurling wallpaper and tile, scattering fiberglass and plaster in a bramble of wires, a history only revealed in ruin. You cannot rebuild here. Start over and kneel before a new god. A little bit more disaster for you. This is wildfire. A tree will grow around squirrel bones, enclose whatever is lost or forgotten, a scythe swung in the trunk, a hidden tin of panned gold. Up to you, we remain a knotted stand, every pine cone sealed in resin. Until we petrify in place, but a forest will suffocate itself, trap the sun and water out. It is no accident, this phosphorus summoned by droughted chaparral, a pyre to crown the canopy, to burn us both down. Husband, take your share of buckshot and soot. Forgive me not the fire, but the hesitation to ignite. So this next poem was my attempt to convince somebody that he was in love with me. I don't know why I thought that writing about strange and disturbing experiments using electricity on severed frogs was romantic, but nevertheless, it worked. That's all you really need to know. So it's a little bit of a long one, so stick with me if you can. Disturbance. Put a silver coin on your tongue with a penny underneath, and you can taste the electricity. We said, go slow, but we're urgent as elephants charging down the power lines. Now the lights won't stay on, and the trees are down. Sleep until you're done. I'm awake, brushing hands along darkened walls, feeling for the switch. It must be here somewhere. We are electric. This is not a metaphor. Each of our cells, a tiny battery, membrane, the cardboard, ions, the coins. Once I tumbled down a flight of stairs, then fainted each time I tried to stand. Overcome by nerves in riot, the body powers down rather than abide. Even swooning is a kind of fainting, overwhelmed by bliss instead of pain. We cross our breaking capacity, too much current in the wires, and a strip of metal melts in sublimation. But without the blown fuse or insulated mica, the charge could stop a heart. 1,500 people crowded Coney Island to watch Edison electrocute an elephant with 60,000 volts. No one cared if the men she killed fed her lit cigarettes or if the current was alternating. They came for spectacle, the split desire for frenzy and obedience, to watch a beast condemned for being wild. Are you awake now? There is a storm coming. Count the distance with me. With steeples tipped in copper, earthing rods on roofs, we can leave the water, crouch in a field, but we still draw lightning between us. In the Southern Ocean, the sailors watched balls of fire in the sails, the luminous energy that gathers on ships after a squall. On the shores of Lake Superior, lightning leaves fulgurite behind, sand fused into rods of glass, jagged shells holding the shape of being struck. The rock is amorphous, a word I want to believe means love without form. It may not take the shape we expect, but a stunning singularity instead. Forked and branched underground, impossible to measure without breaking. But with rulers and shovels, we approach anyway. The sublime is a failure of the mind, said Kant, to understand what seems formless and boundless. Now you hold my hand, my face in your hands, even as lamps flicker and dim. Maybe there is no switch. Help me search. If we stand on wax, clutching wire and vials, the sparks as our lips near can be counted. But without the mind, these motions are only reflex. Galvani strung frogs, severed at the spinal cord on wire, across his rooftop and waited for lightning. Their legs leaped and twitched without longing or direction, obeying the storm. My love, I would thread your torn nerves together, become electrogenic with anodes and cathodes for fingers to soothe this arrhythmia. Suspend me in silks and my face will glow. Current is the cure for both a stopped heart and one that beats too much. And if it must be shocked twice, the surgeons call it a reluctant heart. Love is haywire. Hold fast. Between us pass subtle particles that singe and seize. We are electric. So I'll read a shorter one. Fathom. The dogs understand your heart and know something of the taste of salt. We live off incense and coins, herding coveys of waves, wrenching down the blues. I begged and pouted all this cotton, but what use is stooping to nothing? The sea refused 20 corroded decades before ours. Sometimes the nets raise a god in a flash of minnows. Sometimes matted ferns claim you, their breath a weapon paused at the eye. Always we are capsized by the impossible child in a thicket of empty books. So as Jay mentioned, I worked aboard a tall ship, and that ship did sink. It sank during Hurricane Sandy, and most of the crew survived, but two people did not. The captain went down with the ship, and one other crew member drowned. So this is a poem that I made out of the firsthand accounts of the sinking, many of which I heard from friends who were aboard the ship. It's written in the third person, it's written in the first person plural, the we, which if anyone has been worked aboard a ship, you know it feels like a family when you're aboard a ship. And so that we felt right to me to speak as a sort of plural we, which ordinarily I wouldn't touch. But it felt very appropriate. So this is Ship Broken. We said to stay. We said to sail. She was safer at sea. We were not safe at sea. Straight out and down. South by east. South by west. We thought sea room. We thought weather. Trusted her. Hoped. soft like deer. The waves were 6 feet, 15 feet, 35. We ran jack lines, close reefed, all hands. We never stood down. She took on water. She always did. Planks hissed, heavy seas. We were 500 miles from the eye, 200 miles, 132. A spar broke, the forecourse tore. We furled, we made fast, we lashed the helm hard over. We thought storm tight, we thought rough days. Winds were 25 knots, 40 knots, 60. She pitched and listed sharp. We broke ribs and twisted knees, all of us sick. None slept, hove to, adrift. We ran the pumps and ran the pumps. We strained sawdust from the bilge. We lost prime. The engine stopped. She flooded. 2 feet. Waist deep. 10 feet. The soleboards floated. We never said sinking. We said in distress. We mustered on deck. Waited to abandon ship. Not yet, we said. Still night. She heeled starboard. Buried the bow. We said, she's going. We said, don't lose me. She rolled on her beam, a tired horse. Overboard, we fell, we jumped. Beaten and fouled in her rig, we swallowed seawater, swallowed diesel. We swam clear of her, swam to the rafts. We thought, not this, not her. We were alive. We drowned. We were never found. She is 14,000 feet down. Our beds are full of water now. Oh, thanks. Does that mean I have to stop? Can I go on? Okay. Thank you. That's kind. This is Cole. Murmurs of brittle affairs plow the margins with dynamite through tender guard. In the shallows, men pound their own eyes. Desire leaves a slurry on the wives they go back to. Some believe the night's language crows in lies, but morning is a forbent darling, misborn to obey nonsense. We goad the backwoods with rum and toothpicks, hours fidgeting in the undergrowth, while wolves, those deer crooks, thieve mildewed wheat and wool. With soliloquies of prospect, we dive a dozen feet of chain. It is a saint's task to prune the mountain. So as I said, there's a lot of destruction in this book and a lot of disasters, as maybe you've already heard. But I think hopefully what I was trying to understand was why, not why the disasters happen, but how we survive and why we try to survive, what's worth surviving for. This next poem is another longer poem, and I was thinking a lot about extinction, and it seems strange. It took so long time before people acknowledged that those bones were of an to accept that we are probably going to go extinct, and which is a terrifying, and not really sure what to do with any of this material. And then I got pregnant. Here goes. This is natural history. Head over tundra, hoping a herd survived, hoping you, before you have fingerprints or even hands, your rib bed bloomed, but none for after us. Not even a diorama waits for the future, a camouflage of blank. This love is talons and wild valor. A whale drifts from the ceiling, navel wide as a dit, but even continents are revisions. I am only your dit. In Ethiopia, a rift will open wide enough for water. The certainty of elements is all I have. Bones will say stop before they snap, to loosening the baleen corset. To say I made you in between marine, you command dark tides. After nothing familiar, all you know is survival. The intricacies of milk and sleep dismantle me. I try to tally the animals vanished in my life, Mauritius, and grizzly bears last seen beside the headwater, no longer my throat or temple, the most breakable part. A javelin anchors the air between us. Madness. There may be no refuge in Greenwood. You name the rest yourself. Cat, a plaintive moan, reflection. Not mother or son, us slowly drawing the avenues down. Someday, some. So I'll read one more. I'm of faint beasts. No room is left in the boats. Feet, as though dared in a foreign tongue to knot our. Only heaven is full of furniture.